1 week from today, we will all be breaking it down. We will all be together. We will all be live on set for round one of the 2021 NFL Draft. The Tennessee Titans, of course, hold the 22nd pick, coming off of an AFC South championship and an appearance in Wild Card Weekend where they fell to the Baltimore Ravens. Our draft preview show is presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage expert. Joined by former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, how are you?
Superhero. How you doing, man? You doing all right over there?
I am doing fantastic. Man. And, of course, the guru. I don't think I have given Teron enough credit for how much study he has done. Man. Over the last couple of months on all of these draft prospects, but there is nobody who I'd rather have with us to break it all down than TD and Chris Sanders. So TD, you are the guru. I feel like I'm talking to Mel Kiper Jr., Mel Kiper III, okay. Teron Davenport. TD, how are you?
I'm doing really well, man. I guess I'm KC Jones to Chris Sanders being Robert Parrish and you being Danny Ainge.
Hey, hold up, time out. Let's start this thing all over. You give me an introduction like, hey, we just have Chris. I mean, and then you got my man TD. You
well,
give a grand,
you've accomplished,
a
Chris
grand
Sanders,
entrance,
out of the
man.
Third round, 1995, out of the Ohio State University.
Thank you, man.
By the Houston Oilers. All-rookie team, by the way.
I love this guy.
In 1995 at wide receiver. So, guys, let's start with this.
Sir.
And, Chris, I want to start with you.
Sure.
You've been there before. Hey, team has a good year, makes the playoffs. Everybody's hungry for more. You've been there both, you know, as going to the Super Bowl or having won the division out in the first round. The draft offers an opportunity right now for not only you to find the missing piece of your team right now, which the Titans are probably looking for, but also maybe the building blocks of the future, and that's where the Titans sit with the 22nd pick next week.
Yeah, if you look at the Tennessee Titans, I mean, they had a great year on offense. They had a dismal part on defense, but they're just a couple of pieces away from making it to the Super Bowl. I mean, if you look at offense, you had A.J. Brown, who they have at the top receiver on their roster. Then you have Henry that's just, man, 2,000 yards. It just shows you that if they just get a couple of things right, I think the Tennessee Titans can be okay. Because if you look at what they did in free agency, we all know that the defense struggled. The defense was bad. The defense wasn't making plays. So what do you do on the offseason? You go and get Bud Dupree. You go get Josh Reynolds on offense to try to make things better. Because if you look at overall, I mean, I'm telling you, if the Tennessee Titans do the right thing in the draft, I think they did good in the free agency. If they do the right thing in the draft, I'm telling you, they can make a run for the Super Bowl.
TD?
I'm going to agree. They are a player or two missing, and I just love the Bud Dupree addition, and you pair that with DeNico Autry. I think that just changes the culture.
Yeah,
that gives you guys up front that are hashtag that dog.
Those are
guys that will influx juice into it. And then just looking at the stunts that they could do and just having – they haven't had someone when the game is on the line. And Chris, you know this, having been on a team with Javon Curse.
Oh, man, a dog.
You know, the game is on the line. You need a defensive play.
Yeah.
What happens? I'm going to make that play because I'm that dude. And that's what they have in Bud Dupree. That's what they have in DeNico Autry. And that's only going to make Jack Rabbit Jenkins, as well as I like calling him Jack Rabbit. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
And Kevin Byard and those guys. And, yo, my youngin', Christian Fulton.
Come on. He's
going to be a factor, too. So I think this team is a player or two. They need another guy besides Henry and A.J. Brown that could just – take things over as well on offense. So those are the pieces.
And I love Autry on defense. And the reason why I love Autry on defense is because he eats up that double team.
Mm-hmm.
And if he eats up the double team, he just made your defense better. You got Simmons, you got Evans, you got all those guys that are playing fast. So if Autry is eating up those double teams, it frees up everybody on the defense to get better. I actually love that better than the Dupree pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because he just made your defense from being average to maybe been one of the best defenses in the league.
And you look at those guys up front in Autry and Simmons in the middle.
Yeah.
And then we haven't mentioned Harold Landry.
Oh, no doubt.
Now you have – and just look at what Dupree did in Pittsburgh, right? And I remember the preseason game 2 years ago, and I was like, oh, Roger Saffold, I don't know, man. Because they were running stunts with Tuitt and Dupree and with Hayward and Watt. And it was just like, yo, these games they're playing up front, it's scary. So I say that to say – These are the type of games that they could use with Dupree, because you got two bosses in the middle of the defense in Autry and Simmons, and you got Lance. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I just want to see them give Jayon Brown more of a chance to rush the passer, too.
And I think with Autry, I think he reminds me of – we ain't forget about you, Jerry.
Hey, I'm just letting you guys go.
We love you, man. But he I'm not saying he's – Autry is Haynesworth. But he brings that same impact.
Okay.
Does that make – you know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
You feel him on the field. You want a player that you feel on the field. And every time Haynesworth was on the field, you felt him. And that's what I feel about Autry. Autry, when he played for the Indianapolis Colts, you felt that kind of cat on the field. And that's what you want. So if you have him doing great, you have him eating up double teams, it just made your secondary better. Because now you don't have to cover as long. You know, if you look at our secondary struggled. I know a couple of guys have gone with Adoree and Butler. Those guys are gone. But now you insert Autry, now you don't have to cover long.
Hey, front end always helps the back end, man. You leave it up to Warren Sapp. He'll say that's the difference. You leave it to Deion, he'll say the back end helps. They both help each other. But in this case, I think the front end is going to help those guys on the back.
Exactly.
What I think I get really excited about, too, is not only where this Titans team is right now, but how important the draft is just in general for the future of the Titans. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we would agree that the window is now, but how do you extend the window? You find good players. The Titans are going to have four picks in the top 100 this year. And I know we're going to talk a lot about the first round and the 22nd pick, and we'll be doing, you know, a full 5 hours or however long we're doing it Thursday night around the first round next week. But I would argue, TD, the Titans feel kind of like a team that's, you know, got 1 foot in the contender ring, 1 foot out, and that's where the draft, I feel like, sets you up, not just for next year, but also for the future.
Right, and that's the thing. Those first two rounds especially, those guys they have to find immediate contributors, and that's why those first two picks are really going to be key. The third round pick as well. So you're right, they are 1 foot in. I think they're pretty firmly among the top five teams in the division and in the conference. And I think they are among the top two in their division. And as long as they're able to just reclaim some of that success they had on offense last year, that offense alone, I mean, look, the defense was abysmal.
Man,
19 sacks, 51%
third
down.
You could have got a sack.
We may have been able to. You know, and that's
what about me, Chris?
Negative.
That's the other thing about Autry and Dupree. They're finishers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's something, and just getting back on track to the whole contender side of it, that defense just has to raise their game slightly.
That's
the offense just has to maintain, and they'll be – right there with the Chiefs and with, you know, the Colts and the Ravens and all those other teams, the Bills. I know, Jared, I know you're a Bills fan, so we'll mention them too. That's all they need to do.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you look at in 1999, I'm not trying to compare this team to 1999, but before that, in 1998, we had a pretty good defense. I mean, we had Marcus Robinson, we had Blaine Bishop. But once you start adding like a Javon Curse, a Samari Rowe, guys like that, that just adds more fuel to the fire. And I watched when Samari Rowe came in and when Curse came in, when they stepped foot on the field, you just knew that something was different.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that something was different. And those guys were impact players immediately. And I agree with you 100%, TD. The guys that we draft, the guys that we bring in, they have to be impact players. It can't be guys like we had last year. And this is no disrespect to anybody. We can't have like an Elijah Wilson. I mean, Isaiah Wilson. We can't have a guy like that just comes in that's a first rounder that's not an impact player.
Mm-hmm.
We need guys to come in and say, you know what? I understand you played in college. I understand you may be a little raw, but you're coming in here to play, period. You get a guy like that to come in here and do some doggone things, let's go eat, boss.
And that's why when people say the Caleb Farley situation, if he's there.
Gimme.
I get it. I say gimme. But will he contribute this year? That's what the issue is. That's the issue. And when you have a guy with a back situation, back,
right.
And one of them was like an L2 lumbar or something.
I had an L5.
Oh, so you know.
Yeah,
so
I know. You lose a lot of your strength. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when I hurt my back, you know, I lost a lot of my movement. And if he has that kind of injury, I didn't know that, then I'm going to shy away from that. Because you don't have that explosiveness. Because when I hurt my back, my explosiveness was absolutely gone, TD.
I'm going to look it up and find exact. Because I wrote about it last week. And I is a quote directly from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about it. So I'll look it up. But just, they need a guy that's going to come and help
I
right
agree.
Now. And that's why, you know, some of the other guys we're going to talk about in a little bit, that's why, in my opinion, they elevated. And, I mean, there's one guy, and we'll get into it. He's buy one, get two free. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a bargain shopper. So I would imagine, you know, John Robinson. No, no, sir. No, sir. I don't look at anything I know I can't buy. You know what I'm saying? If I got to ask the price tag, I'm not going into the store. You know, and that's how it be.
So one thing I would say about the draft.
Yes.
And this is just a thought I have is Steve McNair didn't contribute right away. Albert Haynesworth didn't contribute right away. Keith Bullock didn't contribute right away. I mean, yes, I would agree with you guys. They need people to come in right away. I mean, like, if they draft a corner, they need them to start. If they draft a receiver, they need them in the slot. If they, but the draft is not just a one-year thing. You know, that is this year. I mean, you are finding the building blocks of your future, just like the Titans did in 1995 when they drafted Chris Sanders out of the Ohio State University. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the most important positions of need. The experts will break it down, Chris and TD, and also how deep is the draft at some of those positions. We'll also go position by position as we continue our draft preview show. Join the three of us, plus Mark Howard, on Thursday night. That's right, 1 week from today, for the draft show coming up right here on ESPN 102.5. The game will be live from Third and Home Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark. And on Friday, the three of us will be live from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. So it should be very exciting. The draft preview show presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage experts, continue next. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game. The Draft Preview Show presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage experts, is on. Chris Sanders and Teron Davenport are here. So I always feel like every time I work with you two guys, I always somehow feel like I end up getting picked on. So here's what I'm going to do.
We love you,
and I know I'm looking forward to an entire weekend of it next weekend. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to take each guy, and I want you. We all know that the Titans have needs, and that the Titans, as we said, they're 1 foot in the contender ring, 1 foot out. This is where you end up making your money, is right here in the NFL draft. But what are the most important positions of need, in which order and why? And I'm going to put Chris Sanders on first to say, what is your number one need in the Titans for the draft?
I think it's cornerback. And the reason why I say quarterback, I know a lot of people are going to say wide receiver, but we already got a top dog in A.J. Brown. I think it's the secondary. If you look at the secondary, they struggled big time, even when they had Butler and Adoree. I know they got Jenkins from New Orleans Saints, but if they can be good in the back end and then draft a pretty good edge rusher, I think the secondary is going to be really, really good this year. And I just think that if you look at last year, look at the guys that had interceptions. You had Amari Hooker that had four interceptions. You had Fulton that had one. You need some guys, some playmakers in the secondary. And I just think that right now we don't have that right now. I know Fulton is out there, but he's still unproven because he made one interception, but he consistently was hurt. So if we could draft, if we can look at the draft and say, okay, if we get this guy at cornerback, would he make the secondary better? And I think that if they get somebody with that, with a caliber of coming in and playing right away, I think they can be successful.
Okay, TD, do you agree or disagree corner is the number one need for the Titans?
Corner is my number two need for the Titans for now and the future. I get it. Jenkins is not getting any younger. Mm-hmm. Christian Fulton is unproven. And, you know, after that, you got Kevin Johnson and, yeah, you know, a collection of guys. I get that. I think the cornerback position, or just the secondary period, is going to get better because of the front end, like we talked about in the previous segment. And I think along with that, one of the premier turnover machines in the league is Kevin Byard. And I think when you have that pass rush and you give him that ability to play comfortable and just be back there and bait quarterbacks into making throws like he did against the Giants in 2019 when he 18 when he picked off Eli Manning on the sale combo,
yeah,
you know, had to go to the library real quick to justify it. But, yeah, I think that's just going to make it a lot better. So, for me, I look at the receiver position as the number one. And you know, right, it's every Batman has to have a Robin.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
Because if they're going out against teams every week and a team is throwing Jair Alexander on A.J. Brown with help over top.
But just what we talked about a little earlier, or when I was on your show a while ago, we got Reynolds, Josh Reynolds. Is he the guy? And that's the thing that we were talking about. Is he a number two or is he a number three? What is he? So if he becomes a number one, and you don't need to pick that receiver position, do you lose a pick and say, okay, I go get a corner?
This is my issue. They don't have an established tight end, and they don't have a slot.
Okay, true.
Right. So true. For me, I think the slot position specifically is the biggest need because they don't have it right now. Yeah, and then the other thing is, look at what teams like to do. They like to, as we said, cat covers, Jair Alexander, A.J. is your man. Trey Davis White, A.J. is your man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you take advantage of that, right? Yeah. Marlon Humphrey.
True.
A.J. is your man. What did they do? They moved him across the formation. So you need a slot that can not only play on the inside, but you could put him on the outside and he'll do some work. And that's why I think that position is so important, because it allows you to do more things with A.J. and really just showcase him.
I mean, that's a great point, because if you look at the last two receivers to get 1,000 yards together was Drew Bennett and Derek Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Mason was a tough joker inside the slot, but also he had the ability to run routes on the outside.
Yep.
You know, Drew Bennett was about, what, 6'3", 6'4", and he just run the comebacks and the dig routes to make those plays. But when you have two receivers that you can put in the slot and also put on the outside, it just makes your team better. So I do agree with that, but I just think that right now, I just think with the receivers that the AFC South has right now,
mm-hmm.
we have to be able to cover some folks, because we can have a good front, but if you have a little tiny receiver and all of a sudden they throw it to a big wide receiver, or cornerback, and then you throw it to a big wide receiver, then we're going to consistently saying that the secondary is struggling. So, you know, I agree with you 99.9999%, but I just think that we should definitely get a corner.
It's funny you guys say that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Tron, but I actually think pass rusher is the biggest need. And I know that it's crazy to sit there and say,
it's not,
you know, it's for me, I look at it like Bud Dupree's coming off of an injury,
yep.
and I feel good about him, you know, returning. But I don't want Bud Dupree and I don't want Harold Landry in the same situation that Harold Landry found himself last year, where he was playing almost 99% of the snaps.
He played 93% of the snaps last year.
93?
Wow.
I mean, Chris, you remember back in the days, you know, when you were there and it was, hey, Kevin Carter, get to the sideline. Albert Angel, get to the sideline. Javon Kearse, get to the sideline, so you'd have something left in the fourth quarter.
Ooh.
I think you look at Landry's sack numbers, down 9 in 2019 to 5.5 last year. I think some of that was overuse a little bit. Mm-hmm. Landry's a free agent at the end of the year. Bud Dupree, again, coming off of an injury, no sure thing. And I just feel like the difference, and TD, I could be wrong about this, the difference between a first-round pass rusher, Azeez Ojulari or Jalen Phillips, and the second-round pass rushers is pretty big in this year's draft.
I think a guy like Patrick Jones Jr. is pretty close to, you know, some of these first-round guys. I think, you know, Quincy Roche is another one that's right there. But I get what you're saying as far as the juice. And I think that's really the main thing about all three of these positions that we talked about. At which position do you have the highest drop-off, right? Do you go from the Rashad Bateman to Nico Collins? Is that something that is earth-shattering if you don't get Bateman and you get Collins? Is it earth-shattering if you don't get Greg Newsom? I mean, if J.C. Horn is there, hey, punch the ticket.
Oh, yeah.
There's
no
conversation.
There, go ahead.
But he's probably not going to be there. You know what I'm saying? But if it's Greg Newsom, right, and you're considering it, that's what you have to look at. And I talked to Jim Nagy about this, because my thing is this. Like, you know, there's a certain guy that I feel is just absolutely should be the pick. Mm-hmm. Right? So I asked him, I said, look, man, you know, you've been in the room. You know how it goes. Mm-hmm. Is this league to a point now where a slot receiver is the guy that you draft in the first round? And he said, absolutely, because the game has become more horizontal, right? And it's all about getting guys in space and making those plays. So then I said, well, is there enough separation from this particular guy and the other guys, like Amari Rodgers, Demetric Felton, Diamo Brown, Shai Smith? And that's when he was like, well, you know, that's really the big conversation. And he's 100% right. Jim Nagy was 100% right. And that's what you have to look at. Is there separation from Greg Newsom to Tyson Campbell?
Right.
Is there enough to make you say, okay, well, I'm going to get this guy instead of him? And I think that's really what the Titans are looking at. And it's all going to depend on, and Jarrett, we've talked about this, it's going to depend on what they think of Christian Fulton. It's going to depend on what they think about Bud Dupree's ability to come into play right away. What do they think long-term about Harold Landry? Mm-hmm. But then also it's going to depend on, you know, what do they think about Josh Reynolds?
Exactly.
Because remember, he's on a one-year
he's
deal.
He's on a one-year deal. And going back to, I want to ask both of y'all this question. Where did the Tennessee Titans struggle at this year?
Defense.
So now, how many sacks did they have?
19
sacks. So if that's your Achilles heel, you got to fix it with a defensive guy. You have to. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I understand wide receiver. I understand you're saying Elijah Moore. We're going to talk about all those receivers. But the problem wasn't the offense. I mean, there's some good wide receivers now.
But they lost Jono and Corey.
Why you been so mean?
But I get what you're saying, though, man.
Yeah, but the Achilles heels was our defense. I mean, it's funny because, you know, when Corey Davis was hurt and had those two games, they plugged in another receiver, and they did okay. It still was A.J. Brown's show. And I agree we need to have, you know, Batman and Robin. But the Achilles heel of the Tennessee Titans team is that defense. When you have 19 sacks. Okay, 19 sacks out of what, 20-something, 19 games? That's a problem. That's one sack a game.
Secondary gave up 36 or 32 touchdowns. It was second worst in the NFL.
What you talking about?
You know what was the worst part about it when you think back to it last year? That every quarterback that the Titans played, like Gardner Minshew had a day.
Glennon.
Kirk Cousins had a day. Drew Locke had a day. I mean, it wasn't just like, you know, Aaron Rodgers had a day on him, which he did. But every quarterback, except for apparently Josh Allen, had a day last year when they played the Titans. Speaking of wide receiver, Chris knows him pretty well.
Yes.
By the way, I should say it's almost blasphemous in the 5 years I've been doing this that Chris Sanders isn't saying go offense and go wide receiver. But we will take a look at the wide receivers in this draft coming up next, and we'll have Chris's top five targets for the Titans at wide receiver as well. So get excited. That's coming up next. This is the Draft Preview Show presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage experts. Let me tell you about my friends at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Hiller is giving away free vacations for you and your family this month. With every purchase of a new whole home generator or select new HVAC systems, Hiller is giving you a free week-long vacation. With every purchase of a new tankless water heater, Hiller is giving you a free weekend-long vacation, and they'll pay for your gas with a $100 gas card. Choose from over 400 Marriott, Wyndham, Hilton, or Hyatt hotel properties. Take advantage of this unbelievable deal while you can. These deals are only available for a limited time, so make sure you schedule today. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be or the service is free, and I can promise you that because Hiller takes care of my home and they do a fantastic job. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers and the Nashville Predators. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Todd, the Titans pick is in.
Elijah Moore, Susie. And this is Kuiper's guy, but he never puts him in the first round. I had to put him in the first round. I just love his explosiveness. I think he ran a 4.29 at his pro day, and you see it on tape. Plus, Elijah Moore is tough. He's physical. You don't get a lot of slot receivers who will actually go down the field and block and do all the little things. I think you just add him to what they want to do in Tennessee and add another weapon for Tannehill. To me, it makes perfect sense.
Elijah Moore, that was Todd McShay talking about the wide receiver out of Ole Miss. Draft Preview Show is on. Chris Sanders, you know when you have that friend who finds that restaurant or that band before anybody else does? And every time you hear it and the band just blows up or the restaurant's the hottest restaurant in town and you're like, hey, you know what? My friend was on that restaurant before anybody else was.
Yes, sir, man. Hey,
that is what Teron Davenport has been about Elijah Moore for years.
Been talking about him since 2019.
Hey, what position you play?
receiver.
Okay, there you go.
See, that's my thing. But
yes,
we already know the way that it's going to break out this year in the draft. The Titans, and it would be great if they could draft Ja'Marr Chase, but they're not going to be able to out of LSU. We know that Jalen Waddle out of Alabama and Devontae Smith out of Alabama will most likely all be gone by pick number 22. But there's still a lot of wide receivers. Chris?
Yes.
Let's take a look at some guys who should be there should they think about 22.
All right, you know, we already said it. Who's the number one guy? I'm going to let you answer this, TD.
Hey, that'll be available at that point. Hey,
go ahead.
Listen, you know what it is. I want more and more and more and more.
Exactly. That's my number one guy is yep. Elijah Moore. He's 5'9", 178. And everybody's comparing him to Antonio Brown. And like everybody's like, what does that mean? He is a route runner. He uses his eyes well. He stops on the dime, and he's got strong hands, and he makes those plays. We always talk about, you know, is a wide receiver NFL ready? Is he NFL ready? Like, what the heck does that mean? That NFL ready means can you run routes? Can you get off the press? Can you do the little things to be that impact player? And I look at Elijah Moore. He may not be the big guy. He's 5'9", 178. But his route running is going to make him special. And let's just kind of take this a little back. He went to Ole Miss, and we got a guy named A.J. Brown that plays for the Tennessee Titans. That's pretty doggone good. Mm-hmm. Whose record did he break? A.J. Brown. Yeah. So that tells you if he breaks A.J. Brown's record, that means he is something special. And I think that with the Tennessee Titans not having that much practice, and you bring a guy in, and he's ready to play and be an impact player, I think that that's going to be special. Why? Because he's NFL ready.
Exactly. And he is NFL ready. And you talked about it before we got on here, the eyes. Being able to use that to run routes. And I love also you talk about Antonio Brown with his ability to just change direction flawlessly. Watch you remember the Vanderbilt game where the double move? And he did it from the outside.
Proper.
But you see him doing it multiple times, just being able to hit that double move. And there's no slow movement. And then he gets the ball in the middle of the field. And you see him run in one direction, put his foot in the ground, cut back. The dude worked out as a running back, you know, at Ole Miss's pro day. I've had some personnel folks and scouts tell me that was the best wide receiver workout they've ever seen.
Wow.
So, you know, there's nothing really to say, and I stutter because I'm trying to find something that you could say negative. I don't believe size is the skill, so you're not going to hit me with the size thing. I think he's the guy.
Yeah, and being wide receiver has just been like a salesman. We talked about that. Just imagine if I come to your house and I'm selling you a vacuum. Knowing the vacuum don't work, but I'm going to make you think that this vacuum works. That's what being a receiver is saying, you know, man, this is the best thing you ever had, and basically it don't work. But that's being a wide receiver. I'm selling you something that's really not there. Yep. So if I got a slant route, I'm making you think I'm running the go route. Everything's based off the nine route. And when I say everything's based off the nine route, that means I'm coming off the ball full speed and I'm using my eyes, to create separation. That's what it means to be NFL ready.
Chris, who else is out there kind of in the first round that you're targeting?
Number two, I like Terrence Marshall from LSU. And the reason why I like him, he's 6'2", he's 205. Last year, he had 10 TDs. And this is what I love about this kid is his catch radius is huge. And you're like, what the heck does that mean? That means wherever the ball's at, I'm going to get it. Mm-hmm. If it's behind me, I'm going to get it. If it's up high, I'm going to get it. If it's down low, I'm going to get it. And that's the kind of catch that you need because it makes the quarterback feel comfortable.
Yep.
It makes you feel comfortable to know. It's kind of like Brady and Gronk. Gronk can be covered. He's going to throw the ball because he know Gronk is going to figure out a way and use his body to catch the ball. So with Terrence Marshall from LSU, he has that same type of ability. But the only thing that he needs to work on is he needs to polish up his routes. If he can polish up his routes, I think he can be an asset for the Tennessee Titans.
You know my one drawback for Marshall? And you see that with a lot of receivers. Like the 49ers and the Eagles had to go through it with T.O. The Panthers with Steve Smith a lot of times. If you don't get him involved early,
he
checks out.
No way.
And that's the one thing. But when you're consistently going to him, watch the Missouri game. They just kept going and going and going, and he was all in. That's the one issue. And he's big, right? But I don't know, does he have the same type of heart of a lion that Elijah Moore has?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where he will be involved in the blocking game. That's where the difference between the two. And it's so funny because you got one guy who's big, one guy who's little, and it's like, I don't know. The little guy might be tougher.
Yeah. Does he got a little T.O. in him, you think? To where if you don't give me the ball, I'm just not blocking? And I'm not saying in a disrespectful way. I'm just saying is if I'm not getting involved, if I'm not involved, then I can care less about anything else.
I don't think it's he could care less as much as it's he had. I would say maybe T.O. just from an emotional standpoint.
Right. That's what I mean.
You know what I mean? Where he's not going to be like, I could care less. But I think if you're getting him the rock, he's going to push a little bit more in that blocking game. And you know blocking is a want-to.
Man.
You know what I mean? That's a want-to thing. So
I ain't blocking
that could be a bit of an issue. But you know what? I'm getting a little chatter at the line of scrimmage, and I'm running him off. Go for this run with me.
That's good as a block.
Is that exactly?
No doubt.
Exactly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go to your third one.
And then my third one is we already talked about Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I like him. He's 6 feet, 190. And this is what I love about this kid. Is he's got quick feet.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to have quick feet to have good releases off the line of scrimmage. And the thing that I love about him is the releases. We always talk about a receiver getting off the ball and getting off the press and, you know, getting a guy off the spot and stacking him. Because the key to running a route against press, if you can't get off – I mean, running routes is getting off the press. If you can't get off the press, you are going to have a long day in your career. It's going to be over quick. And – I'm not saying he reminds me of Adams getting off the ball, but he has quick feet like Adams. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because Adams from Green Bay, his releases are absolutely amazing. But the one thing that I struggle with him or the Tennessee Titans picking him is he has average burst.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that second gear to where it's, you know what, if I need to run a post and I have to go get it and Tannehill throws it, I don't think he has the speed and the second burst to go get it.
Yeah. TD, am I wrong for thinking Rashad Bateman both played for P.J. Fleck, although one at Minnesota, the other at Western Michigan, maybe a smaller, maybe a little bit more athletic version of Corey Davis?
There are similarities just because they play so daggone strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's that. I love that about Bateman, where he will go up and he'll make a play like in traffic. The combat catches, as Mike Vrabel calls them, he'll make those. You know what I mean? There are times where he'll catch that slant and like, there's that seam. Find the seam. And get going.
Yeah.
I love Dwayne Eskridge for that.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Western Michigan guy. I love the way he does that. But keeping on track, that's the one thing. And we talked about it. And I love Bateman as a prospect, but the juice
is the juice.
There.
It's the juice.
Juice. And you see like A.J. Brown. AJ got that juice.
He got that stank.
You know, yeah. It's
kind of like having it's kind of like having a steak with no sauce. Yeah. The steak is good and it's tender. But I got to have some A1.
I need some A1. Look, you need my steaks. Man. You have my steaks. You ain't going to need no A1. You know, that's a whole different story.
And then my next receiver is, you may not agree with me, but I like Kadarius Toney from Florida. I know you're going to say he's 6 feet, 193. You talk about slot receivers, he's explosive in a slot. And when I say he's explosive in a slot, he can run those choice routes. And when I say choice routes, that means if you got a slant, you can go inside or outside, and he can catch the ball and make those moves. But the only thing that I'm kind of concerned about is he's consistently injured. You can't – you got to be available to make plays. If you're sitting on the sidelines, you know, chewing gum and popping, you know, sunflower seeds, you ain't going to make no touchdowns. But if he can stay in the field, stay healthy, if he's sitting at that position, I'm like, J-Rob, Mike Vrabel, let's go get this dog because now it just made your offense better and explosive.
Toney is attractive, man.
Toney the Tiger, baby.
I watched him in person down there at the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And he was breaking them off in one-on-ones. But, you know, that's geared towards us receivers. We're always going to win that. But the thing that I really like about him is just the way he is able to make plays with the football in his hands.
That makes a difference.
And he's one of those guys, jet sweeps. He's one of those guys. I mean, I saw him in the backfield at times, you know, and they used him as a running back and had him catch balls out of the back. Randall Cobb, the way the Packers used, that's how Florida was able to use him. I like that, but – for me, the concentration drops.
Yeah.
That's a question mark for me.
And then my next guy is Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State. Ooh. Nobody's talking about
you're
him.
You speaking my language
come on,
now.
Big dog. Let's
you speaking my language.
Hey, what position he play?
Hey, you know.
Let's see. All right. I'm just,
W-R.
Hey, he's from Oklahoma State. This is what I love about this kid is he is
talk
fearless.
To me. Yeah.
He is fearless, big dog. And if you look at Mike Vrabel, if you look at J-Rob, those are the kind of cats that they're driving, guys that are fearless, that are smart and understand how to run routes. But also, when the game's on the line, I got to make the tough catch. If a linebacker's hit me in the mouth, if a safety's hit me in the mouth, if I don't care care who's hitting me in the mouth. My job is to make the catch. He is one of those guys that is fearless, and I love guys like that to say, you know what? I'm going to take one for the team. I'm going to make the play. Give me the ball. I don't care if there's six guys around me. I'm going to make the play. That's why I love that guy from Oklahoma State.
He plays above the rim.
Yes, he does.
I love the way he is on the perimeter. And I was shocked when we got down to the Senior Bowl and he was working from the slot. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. He needs to be on the outside because I want him to go up and make those plays along the boundary that he does. I was also shocked when he checked in at 6 feet because watching him for the 2 years that I've watched him at Oklahoma State, you couldn't tell me that dude was less than 6'3". You know what I'm saying? Because he played much bigger than – so that's an excellent pick. I like those five guys. I would just – I want to get Nico Collins in there, man. I want to get him. I don't know who I would take out. That's tough. But Nico Collins, it's really interesting. Like Michigan, it was a crime how badly he was used at Michigan.
I know.
Right? But then if you see him, he was 6'4", 230 at that time. He's now 215 pounds. He's a guy, you mentioned Adams. He studied Devontae Adams. And even going into the Senior Bowl, he told me when I talked to him, he said, I took some of those releases that I was watching, and I was like, let me guess, you were trying to cross them over at the line. He was like, yeah, exactly. He said he took those releases and worked them in one-on-ones, and he was shocked at how well they were working. Mm. So you also see him just a little bit quicker now.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because he lost that 15 pounds, and that's where he is consistently at 6'4", 215. He is a guy that you could obviously play on the outside with that size. He could play the slot, too. Mm. And it gives you a different dimension in the slot. Remember the Saints with Marcus Colston?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You remember?
Yes, I do.
That's the type of impact that he could have as a slot guy. So now you got that inside-outside game, and it's not the same choice routes as Tony, but he could run those choice routes. But instead of using his quickness, he uses his body to create that separation, right, and create that shield. So Nico Collins is a guy we'll put in there. Couple sleepers, Kay Johnson out of South Dakota State. I really like him.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that, if you remember Doug Baldwin, like that same type of
receiver. Yeah, from Seattle.
He plays
plays.
And just makes plays. You know, and he will catch that slant and take it to the house and do those type of things out of the slot. He's a guy I really like as well.
By the way, do you guys know what happened 26 years ago today?
Is my birthday?
Is it your birthday today?
No, it's May 8th. I want presents.
Oh. TD, do you know what happened 26 years ago today?
Oh, I got drafted.
Chris Sanders drafted by the Houston Oilers.
There we go.
26 years ago?
26. We'll tell people 16.
How did the call go? How did the call go?
I'll tell them when we come back for a break. It was embarrassing.
There you go. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the tight ends. No Jonnu Smith. They've got a big hole at tight end. What does TD think about that position? That's next. Here on the Draft Preview Show, presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage experts. Hey, guys, do you know what season it is? It's not just draft season. It's moving season. If you're looking to move, you need to give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. At TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. I know this because I use TriStar Moving, and it was as stress-free as possible. They will wrap and protect all of your furniture. They'll take care of all of your floors, all of your doors, and they'll put all of your TVs in protected boxes. They took great care of my move. They've got a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet as well. If you need to get in touch with TriStar Moving, give them a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nashvillemoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, or nashvillemoving.org/radio. TriStar Moving, my official movers. The NFL draft is 1 week away, not just one round, but all 3 days for all seven rounds. Chris Sanders, Teron Davenport will be together both Thursday and Friday, breaking down round 1, 2, and 3. Mark Howard will be with us on Thursday right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jonnu Smith, one of the first and biggest signings of free agency this year, as soon as it opened, inked a fresh deal with the New England Patriots. And it's got to be kind of tough for the Titans to have grown Jonnu Smith out of Florida International, or out of Florida International University, to being the top tight end on the free agent market. They don't have a starting, per se, tight end right now. So how can they go about replacing that position? TD, what do we think about the tight ends in the 2021 class?
Yeah, I think this class is really interesting, and it's solid. I don't think there are any tight ends. And, you know, Kyle Pitts, I never mention him when I'm talking about tight ends, because to me, like, that, he's just a different creature. you know what I'm saying? He's different. But when you're talking about the guys that are within reach, the guys that you could, you know, categorize specifically as tight ends, I don't think there's a guy in the first two rounds mm-hmm. that the Titans would pick. But once you get into the third round, you know, especially that 100th pick, Brevin Jordan out of Miami. Ooh, yeah. He is my top-rated available tight end. Again, Kyle Pitts, I don't include him because he's just like – he's not going to – Merry Christmas if you happen get him as a Titan. But Brevin Jordan, to me, you talk about Jonnu Smith and the similarities, he is very similar as far as an angry runner with the football mm-hmm. once he catches the ball. It fits right in with what the Titans want to do. They want guys that bring physicality as ball carriers. Look mm-hmm. at A.J. Brown. We know about Derrick Henry. Jonnu, when he was on the team, that's what he did. But the thing that I also liked about Jonnu Smith is when he's in the game, you can't say, okay, they're passing. You can't say, oh, they're running. When Firks is in the game, guess what? They're passing. When Jeff Swaim is in the game, guess what? They're running. Brevin Jordan, he is a legitimate enough blocker. Mm-hmm. And you know the fire you hear the fire trucks because that's what Brevin Jordan brings, by the way. Fire. You know what I'm saying? As far as how he plays the game and how he approaches it. But he is a guy that gives you just that balance. And then on top of that, you could put him, flex him into the slot. He can line up on the outside, and you talk about receivers using their eyes and running those routes. That dude ran a post against, I think it was Virginia. It was Duke. He ran a post from the outside. He leaned to that that corner,
he gave him something.
Foot in the ground, exploded to the post, wide open, and it was easy money to use Jonnu Smith's IG tag. You know what I'm saying? But I like him a lot, and he's someone that you can move all over. He's not a dominant blocker like Tommy Tremble is, but he is still adequate. So he would be my top option.
But you know what I like about this whole tight end class is there's three things I love about them. They're athletic, they're physical, and they're big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look at this. You got Kyle Pitts at 6'5", 239. You have Brevin Jordan at 6'3", 245. You have Hunter Long from Boston College, 6'5", 253.
Yeah.
You have Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame, 6'4", 248. So they're going to create matchups that's going to benefit the tight end position. And just like you said, you can flex them out. You can go in a 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, and flex them out. Flex one of the tight ends out. And then you created a matchup to where it benefits the tight end. Because who they're going to be lined up on?
Yeah.
A linebacker.
Yeah.
So that's what you do when you have this tight end class, because they're so athletic, they're so physical, and they're so big.
And I like that a lot. And for me, I'm a big yards after catch guy, you know, when it comes to tight ends. You know, that's one of the things I always loved about Vernon Davis. You let him run that little shallow crossing route, you know, play action, and you just dump it to him, let him catch the ball and just make things happen. That's what Brevin Jordan does. I really like that with him. And, you know, Tommy Tremble is another one.
I love that guy.
He'll block his tail off now. I think it's a prerequisite at Notre Dame. You have to block.
You better block somebody.
You know what I mean? And he does that. So he's someone that's really interesting as well. I'm looking at your list over here.
Sure.
Hunter Long, production, a lot of production. And he comes, and he's another one that will block as well. So I like him. A couple sleepers, though. You know, as you go down, I'm going to start with Trey McKitty. He's a transfer. Got to Georgia, didn't have the production that you would want, but I watched him down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. The dude caught everything, and he's a big body. He is, I look at his measurement, 6'5", 241. But the guy I want to focus on is Quentin Morris. out of Bowling Green. And Jared, you've heard me mention him a few times. Mm-hmm. And he's another one that's very similar to Jonnu Smith as far as yards after the catch ability. I saw him a few times, you know, at Bowling Green. There was one, I forget who they played, but he caught a crossing route and he cleared to the other hash and then turned up the sideline, smoothly jumped over somebody, landed on his feet and kept going for a touchdown. You know, so he's someone else that he's not as much of a blocker, you know what I'm saying? But he's a guy that you could develop into a blocker, and he's someone day three, he'll beat her.
And what's the players that J-Rob and Mike Vrabel are looking for? They're looking for versatile players. Mm-hmm. And when you have a guy like that, that can be versatile, he can block, but also you can flank him out, and then he can be that guy that can create matchups to where it benefits the Titans or the tight end position. That's an interesting pick. I mean, yeah. What round do you basically see this guy going? You think he maybe go second, third, fourth?
Brevin Jordan, yeah. I think third round. That's where I think third.
If
I
he's
think
sitting
Treble's
there, would you
like
get
in the fourth? If he's sitting there in the third round,
yeah.
And I already, that's tough. All right, so let's say Elijah Moore and Asante Samuel were the picks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would probably go Brevin Jordan.
Because if you look at the Tennessee Titans, look at on their roster. You got Ferkser, you got Swain, and you got Hudson. I mean, who on that list scares you? Me and you can play tight end.
I mean, look, there isn't, and it goes beyond who scares you. How predictable are you?
Right.
Yep.
That's the situation.
That's a great point.
Yep. I also would say, though, I don't want to rule out Hunter Long, as TD brought up, very productive. And if I know anything about Mike Vrabel,
yeah.
Boston College connection, yeah. I would just say let's not rule him out of the equation either. Let's get to the money position. Cornerback. Ooh. We know they need one. We don't know exactly where. We know they need one. Chris and TD break down the corner class and where the Titans could go. That is next. This is the Draft Preview Show presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage expert. Exactly 1 week from today, not and added any hours or have to sleep anymore. 1 week from today at this time, we will be starting off our draft coverage for the 2021 NFL Draft. Jared Stillman, Teron Davenport, ESPN will be with us as he is now. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, 1995 third round all-rookie team. And,
there
of course, the legend Mark Howard will join us on Thursday as well. But we asked the question earlier today on the Draft Preview Show presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage expert. What was the biggest position of need? And Chris Sanders went corner in the first round as the biggest need. Adoree Jackson out onto the Giants. Malcolm Butler out onto the Arizona Cardinals. Christian Fulton injured as a rookie in 2020. Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins is in. Kind of a big opening. They've got some other guys, whether it's Breon Borders or Chris Jackson, who played a little bit last year. But, Chris, you think the number one need of this team this year is at corner?
I mean, it is, because you look at the Tennessee Titans. I know our front kind of struggled a little bit, and we only had 19 sacks. But if you look at what the secondary did, they were getting beat on some deep routes. They were getting beat by the top receivers. So if we can get a corner to come in and play right away, and not just come in and play, but be an impact player and just get maybe six or seven interceptions. When's the last time we had a cornerback to get eight picks? We haven't had that in a long time. I think the last person to do it was, or seven picks, was Rowe.
So yeah, as a corner.
So we got to get somebody in here to come in here and be nasty. I'm not just saying bring a guy in here or draft a guy because he has an okay skill set. We got to get somebody that's nasty, that when it's the game's on the line and it's man-to-man and you're shutting down the number one corner. And I think that there's a couple of guys in this draft that can maybe do that to help the Tennessee Titans.
I think the main thing that they have to factor in when they're looking at these corners, ball skills.
Yes, sir.
How are you able to turn the football over? I think that's the important thing. And, I mean, you look at the guys that will probably be available at 22. I don't know that there's that guy that consistently finds that football and turns it over. Mm-hmm. That's my one thing about corner at 22.
And, you know, in college, they're going to struggle. I mean, when they're in college and then they go to the pros, they're going to struggle a little bit because you're going to see routes that you've never seen before. But I think if your athleticism and your skill set and you get coached up and your coach develops you, They're going to take your skill set, and then it's going to be proper for that specific position. So I think if you can get some of the guys like from Alabama, Patrick Surtain, or J.C. Horn from South Carolina, I love those two. Yeah. And the reason why I love those two, hey, they're going to get straight up in your mustache and dare you to beat them. That's the kind of cast that you need. Yeah. You said something off the air that was funny. I'm going to let you say it. I'm not going to steal your thunder. But you want to have a defensive back that you want to fight every single practice. Yep. And one of those guys that I had was Chris Dishman and Blaine Bishop. I wanted to fight those guys every time. Why? Because they pushed me to the limit. They were in my mustache. They were challenging me to get better.
Yeah.
That's the kind of cat I want. I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but that was funny that you want to fight.
Well, that's what it is, man. And that's how I compliment a corner, right? Hey. You know, and that's Asante Samuel Jr. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If we were teammates, we'll fight every day in practice. We're just going to rumble. Like, I'm going to check into practice knowing, okay, what am I going to hit him with today? You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about the routes. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. You know, sometimes when you have those feisty guys, like you said, they pull that out. But, you know, it's really interesting that you mentioned the difference from college to the league as far as the definition of the routes, the preciseness of the routes. That's where it takes a corner that has that mindset.
Yes.
And you have to have it anyway as a corner. But really, you have to, especially going into the league, like, okay, you know what? AJ routed the dog mess out of me.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to learn. I'm not going to become unconfident. I'm going to learn. I'm going to come back. I'm going to get him the next time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And yes. That's the thing. Because you have guys that get into camp and, they come in all – you know, high and mighty and feeling good because in shorts and T-shirts,
you look good.
They did a really good job, right?
Yep.
But then once the physicality is mixed into it and that press that you try to make is you know, double swiped out of the way,
yeah.
Do you lose your confidence or you still feel like you're that guy? And that's the main thing.
TD, it's funny you bring that up. I remember watching one of those mic'd up sessions and Logan Ryan said to somebody, you know, hey, I saw you try that move on Steve Smith. Now, I saw that 3 weeks ago. You did that up and out. I'm not falling for it this time.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of guys that I feel like the Titans, you know, not to say like Logan obviously is not the same player he was when he was a corner here. But those are the kind of guys. They don't need the best corners. They need the guys, to your point, TD, that have ball skills. And while it took Logan some time to find the football as a Titan, he obviously did pretty well. So let's assume that on Thursday night, J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain II are both off the board, you know, within the first hour and a half of the draft. And let's also assume Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech, though there are some questions. He opted out this past year and he added the back surgery. Let's say they're off the board. TD, who do you think would be the best fits for the Titans at corner?
Well, there's not really a discussion. Greg Newsome.
And, no doubt.
You know, here's the thing. You want guys who could change direction, who are fluid, have the loose hips. You could do all the you know, draft analogies or draft talk that people apply. You want them to have fast feet. He has all of that. He has all of that. And the thing about him is he also is a dog.
Yeah.
And he's very willing to come up and make tackles against the run. The Titans always like that about their corners. So that's something that's big. I just wish he was healthy against the Ohio State.
Well, you talking about Northwest? You talking about the guy from Northwestern?
Yeah. I wanted to see him go against Chris Olave and those guys.
Oh, they would have ate his behind up. Man, that's the Ohio State University. Hey, come on, man. Easy. Hey, slow your roll, man.
I'm glad he didn't play, TD.
I'm just saying I want to see him do that. Because when you talk about J.C. Horn, look, 1 week, he's in the slot covering Elijah Moore. The next week, he's on the outside going against Kyle Pitts. God bless him. And then another week, you know, he's going against Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You talk about Patrick Surtain. Every week in practice, he was getting it. And then there were times where he was going against, you know, all types of top receivers. Hey, listen, by the way, I slipped and didn't mention Josh Palmer. Palmer ate him alive a couple times. But, you know, that goes back to Newsome. I want to see him go against top-level receivers. And how will he respond? Because just as much as he's going to get them, they're going to get him.
Yeah.
How are you going to respond to that?
Yeah, and if you look at these cornerbacks, they're big. I mean, you got Farley at 6'2", 197. You got Surtain from Alabama, 6'1", 203. You got Greg Newsome, who's 6'1", 190. That means they can be physical with these big wide receivers, because if you look at the NFL, the receivers are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they can run. So you're going to be able have to match up with these wide receivers because they're getting bigger. So I like Newsome. I mean, he's got good feet. The only thing that I'm concerned about with him is if he has to cover somebody that's running the post, I don't know if he has that second or third gear to stay with that fast wide receiver. That's the only thing I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's not physical. I'm not saying he's not a dog, because he is a dog. He's going to get up in your mustache, and he's going to make the tackle. But then I watched the film, and I'm just not sure if he has that second or third gear to stay with the wide. He reminds me of – who does he remind me? He reminds me of you know Jackson used to play with the Tennessee Titans a long time ago?
Jackson.
He, I don't know if you remember. He played
Steve
when I was
– Jackson?
Steve Jackson.
Okay.
He's kind of stocky, but has good feet, but he didn't have the top-end speed.
Okay.
He's kind of like that a little bit.
I just remember Steve Jackson trying to cover the greatest show on turf.
That's what
the
I'm
Super
saying.
Bowl. That was not a, that was not pretty. TD, who else? Like, let's say Newsome either's off the board or the Titans don't go there. The second round, it feels like there might be a sweet spot in the second round.
Oh, yeah.
The corner position.
There's a few. Now, a lot of people are mentioning Eric Stokes, and rightfully so. He was very impressive as far as his speed, what he did at Pro Day, but. You talk about a guy with all those features that Greg Newsome has, the smooth hips and all of that, the fast feet. Tyson Campbell has that second gear. He has that gear. No one's talking about him. And it's crazy to me that no one's talking about him. I know he only had one interception, four pass defense, but he went against consistent talent and held his own. Tyson Campbell is a really good corner, and he's also long. He's, what, 6'1", 193. Mm-hmm. He has that gear to run with receivers down the field. I like him in the second round. I mentioned Asante Samuel Jr. Hey, I just love the dog that he has.
I loved it.
And, like, it's ingrained with him. It's in his DNA. You know, did you go against Asante Sr.?
Oh, what, did he play for Miami?
Not Surtain Sr.
Oh, I'm thinking of Surtain.
Asante that played for New England and Philly.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Oh, he was a dog.
He was a dog.
Yeah, he was a dog.
You talk about ball exactly skills and those about. Type of things. That's something that Asante Jr. is working on, is getting better. But I just think just the ability, and he's a smaller guy, but I really love talking to him because I say, even though you're smaller, what is it that allows you to defend the bigger guys? You know, I said, is it how you fight through the tuck? And he said, absolutely. What goes up must come down. So as the big receiver is coming down with the ball, he's coming up with that tiger up
to
punch it out. You know, and I like that about him. He's got a place. He play nickel, right? And you can put him on the outside. I like that. But another guy that no one's talking about, I mentioned him off of the air a little bit later, Jarrett, DJ Daniel, another Georgia guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the best man corner on Georgia.
Okay. Isn't that the kind of cast that the Tennessee Titans need?
Exactly. They 52% they were in man defense last year.
But see, he's already primed for the NFL. If you're playing man at the college level,
yes,
that's what you need. Because we always talk about. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's like we talk about being NFL ready. If you're playing press coverage right now, that means you're NFL ready. Because cover two and cover three, that's easy. You're playing your third. You're playing
the quarterback.
That's it.
Yeah.
But when you're going man to man, it's imano. And if you can get that. And he comes in with the Tennessee Titans. Now he just made your whole defensive better.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go man-to-man and just let the front and say, sick him.
A couple other guys. Ifeatu Melifonwu, he's a guy I know the Titans like. He's long. And actually, for a longer guy, he's not – because you know you had the longer corners and they tend to, like, get their feet tied up. Like Steve Smith Sean Smith, rather, to play for the Dolphins. You can route him to death. Richard Sherman, you can route him to death because the footwork wasn't quick. But, you know – come to zone or even like getting hands on you, it was over. Melifonwu is different. He's long, but his footwork is good. Keith Taylor out of Washington is another one. No one is talking about. Had a so-so 2019. 2020, he came back and showed off at the Senior Bowl. He showed off. The Titans have had virtual meetings with him. Now, they love that Washington defense, by the way. But they have virtuals. He's another long corner that you could put out there and not have to worry about him getting routed to death. You know what I mean? But you could also know that he probably won't turn the football over a lot, but he's always going to be tough to throw deep passes against because he's long. He has the longer arms. and he has that understanding. I love and Darrell Revis. I don't remember where I saw it, but he was talking about and showing how he plays defense against like deep balls, and he said, "I don't turn and run with a guy in a straight line. When I turn, I'm running in an angle, and I'm just slightly guiding him to the sideline." I showed you the Kay Johnson one-on-one. Yeah, what did you say? He's not leaving the cushion in the side. Darrell Revis is purposely eliminating that cushion on the side. The only person that gave him work consistently was Stevie Johnson.
Yeah.
Everyone else he's covering. But the thing was, I like how Keith Taylor is able to do that too. It makes him hard to throw the deep pass against. And those are things, obviously, you know that this team gave up 36 touchdowns in the air last year.
But do you spend fourth round on that and just let him? I was just going to ask.
You
could
get him later.
I know, because nobody's talking about him. So there's teams that are probably thinking the exact same thing, that we know the talent that this guy has, so we're going to let him slip a little bit. But when we get to the fifth, sixth round, we can take a chance on him. And I think that is huge with them guys being there.
Yeah, another second-round guy, UCF, Aaron Robinson.
Okay.
Tough as nails. That dude is tough. You know, and he's another one that you could get. I actually just looking at and watching NFL Network's mock, they had him going at 52. But he'll be there right in that range. So second round, Jared, to keep it on point with what you asked, Tyson Campbell, Asante Samuel Jr., Ifeatu Melifonwu will be in that range. The guy I just mentioned, Aaron Robinson. Those are four.
What about Elijah Molden? You don't like him from Washington?
Oh, shoot. You know,
oh, my God. TD can't forget about Elijah Molden.
No, do we need to go to break, man?
No, we don't. Here's the problem. I think of him as a safety. You know what I mean?
Okay.
When I watch Elijah Molden, I think Buda Baker.
Okay.
Right? And he's categorized as a corner, but I have him in there as a safety for me. But he is a nickel. You know what I mean? And he's a guy that you could go in. And the thing I love about him is he was the executive of the secondary in Washington. I had him and Keith Taylor on at the same time. And I was like, who was the boss? Who made sure that the communication was really well? And that's something I asked all the corners, because obviously that's an issue the Titans had. Keith Taylor said Elijah Molden. You know what I mean? So that's another plus. He'll come in and help lead that secondary. Hmm.
TD, I am like sitting here now saying, oh, yeah, they don't need a corner in the first round now. I got seven guys that I feel like they can get after hearing that. Because, again, my biggest need, pass rusher. Coming up next, Bud Dupree's in the mix. Harold Landry returns. But what do we think about this class, not just in the first round, but overall? Because, well, quite frankly, we know that anybody that can sack the quarterback, the Titans can use. We'll get to that coming up next. The Draft Preview Show is presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage expert. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game. NFL Draft is right around the corner. Again, be sure to join us for all of our coverage right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Teron Davenport, Chris Sanders, Mark Howard, and yours truly, Thursday night, live from Germantown, where we'll be live in Germantown, so we'll be excited for that. Defensive line / outside linebacker / anybody who can sack the quarterback position, whatever you want to call it, clearly wasn't good enough last year for the Titans. 19 sacks, and a lot of those, I think four, came in the last week of the year against the Houston Texans. And, well, we know how much of a mess they were last
Brooks
year.
Brooks Reed had a couple of them.
Hey, Brooks Reed, hey, I don't want to say anything bad about Brooks Reed. He played like a man last year. But they signed Bud Dupree. They bring in Danico Autry. How important, Chris Sanders, is pass rush, defensive line, front seven this year going into the draft?
Man, it's huge. Okay, let me take you down memory lane. You watched the Super Bowl, right?
I did.
Look at how Mahomes was on skates because of the front was putting so much pressure on Mahomes. I don't care how good a quarterback you are. I don't care if you're a Hall of Famer. If you're getting consistent pressure and they get you off your spot, you're going to be in trouble. If you look at the Tennessee Titans last year, they had 19 sacks. We talked about that early. They need to figure out ways to put pressure on the quarterback. And last year they didn't. They got a couple of guys that they got in free agency. They got Autry. They got who else did they get? I just lost my train of thought. Dupree. Yeah, they got Bud Dupree. And I think in this draft, there's one guy that I think if the Tennessee Titans get, they just made their defense faster, nastier, and it's that cat from Georgia, Azeez Ojulari. I'm trying to pronounce his name right.
Ojulari.
That is a, I'm going to tell you, he is a superhero in pads. Mm-hmm. He is a dog. He just made your defense better. He made your defense faster. And with Dupree and him on the field, with Simmons and all those guys, it's time to go eat. I mean.
You know what I like about him? He does everything.
Oh, everything.
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 I mean, you want a guy to drop back into coverage with a running back?
Everything.
Sure. Check him out. Watch against the Florida game. Yeah. You know, that long arm that he has. And ESPN, we had a thing where it was like seven of us.
Mm-hmm.
We had to pick who our best draft comps were. They asked me. I said, oh, this is easy. Yannick Ngakoue, Ojulari.
Ooh.
They both use the cross chop just the same.
Man.
These guys, they're 6'2 and 6'3, 246 to 249. The body type's the same. But the thing about both of them that I love, you love pass rushers. You absolutely do. But I like a guy who you don't have to put on the field just for third down. I like a guy on first and second down. When you have that offensive lineman pulling, trying to kick out the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So the running back could, you know, cut it up right off of his tail. Mm-hmm. I like a guy that just says, hey, look, man, I ain't going nowhere. And taking it on and what he does to use Bud Dupree. I love when Bud Dupree said it.
I was about to say that.
Folding offensive linemen.
He
takes them on and folds them. And you talk about Alabama and how good their line is. They were trying that mess with Ojulari. No, sir.
But just imagine both of those guys on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I love about both of those guys is they never take a playoff.
Yep.
They never take a playoff.
That motor is stupid.
If the ball's on the other side of the field, those guys are going to be there. So if you look at the Tennessee Titans defense, I understand that they struggled and they wouldn't get to the ball. But you add this kid from Georgia, and you have Dupree, and then you got Simmons, you got Evans, you got, you know, Harold. You have all those guys. You just went from a defense that was bad to a defense that's fast, nasty, and aggressive.
Yep.
That's what we need.
Nasty.
And physical and smart football players. And it's not just getting a guy because he's athletic. This guy is smart now.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing. And just like we said, if a guard pulls or somebody's coming at him, he knows exactly what to do. He knows what's coming at him, and he's a ferocious tackler. When he hits you, you're going to get it.
Yeah, and even though he's not long like Greg Rousseau or long like Dayo Odengbo or long like Joe Tryon, his arms are long.
Yeah.
And he uses that long arm, and it shocks offensive linemen because they look at him and they don't really think he's going to get to them. What's the key objective in pass rushing? Mm-hmm. I got to hit you before you hit me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he does that consistently because of that long arm. I really love that about him. Ojulari he's a really good – and here's the other thing. We talked about Javon Curse, right, earlier about when, hey, look, it's time to make a play. I need to be the guy to make that play. Bud Dupree, I asked him about bringing a pass rush culture here, and he said that's exactly what I plan to bring. I always want to make the play, but we're going to have 11 guys who say it's time to make a play. I'm going to be the one to make the play. And we're going to have a team full of guys that are willing to take your face off. Ojulari fits right in with that. So I think that's just yet another thing. And if you don't believe me, watch the Cincinnati game.
Yeah, and Ojulari, what he does is his instincts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his instincts are incredible. He knows exactly what's going on. He's full speed to the ball, and he's going to run through somebody's lips.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of catch that you want. And this is what makes him so special. He was a freshman captain, and the last freshman to be a captain was Kirby Smart. What does that tell you?
And that's a Titan guy right there.
That's a Titan guy. Yep. Come on, Jared.
That's it.
That's
you know, when Robinson and Vrabel talk about what they're looking for, and I think a lot of times we can hear that they're kind of, I don't want to say throwing shade at Vic Beasley and Isaiah Wilson, but I feel like we hear that from time to time out of them.
Yeah.
Freshman captain, that goes a long way. A couple of names. You brought up Gregory Rousseau, TD. The Miami connection, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, came out and said that teams are telling him Gregory Rousseau will go in the first round. Now, I thought about this, and I go, you know, every agent's always trying to drum up business for their client. But at the same time, Rosenhaus would look kind of dumb if Rousseau doesn't go in the first round. What do we think of that news item?
I think he'll go in the first round, but, I mean, look.
You got to use the illustration, man. Don't shy away from it.
I used it on here once before, maybe a month ago. And here's the deal, man. You know, I'm a Disney employee, you know what I mean, via ESPN. So I'm going to do the reference. You know that cartoon, that movie Bambi? Remember when Bambi first got her legs and was like really figuring out how to walk and falling all over the place? That's what Rousseau reminds me of. This dude, and no knock, like when he could do the job, but just he still to me, remember, just a couple years ago, he checked into Miami and he weighed 215 pounds. This joker is 265, 270 pounds now. He's not all the way grown into his body. He's like that big kid, you know, in middle school that's 6'5", you know what I mean, and just doesn't understand how to use all that height. Yeah. That's how he is. He's mostly an interior guy, right? In my opinion, he's not as effective on the outside. I don't think he has the same juice as the guy who wore 15 last year and Jalen Phillips. But he'll go in the first round because of the measurables, because of the production that he had. I just personally, and I told Mel Kiper this when I had him on talking with TD, he projected his first mock had Gregory Rousseau at 22. I said, hey, Mel, Jalen Phillips is a better player.
Is that how you said it? You said, hey, Mel?
Exactly. And his next mock, guess who was at 22? And guess who was later?
There it is.
Hot dog. You see what I'm saying? So here's my thing. Rousseau will go first round, but I don't have him in my top five edge guys. I personally feel Joe Tryon is better than him. Mm-hmm. I am convinced that Jalen Phillips, and you talk about a guy coming off the edge, a guy who uses his length, a guy who is destructive against the run. Oh, yeah. Jalen Phillips is that dude as well.
Dog.
So, I mean, Ojulari, Jalen Phillips, those guys, if they're there, along with Newsom, along with Elijah Moore, hey, you know what? I would hate to be John Robinson and that crew over there because I wouldn't know what direction to go.
And I love Phillips. The reason why I love Phillips is he can run.
Yeah.
I mean, that joker can run.
He chases stuff down to the opposite side.
Chases stuff down. You want a guy that can run. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the Tennessee Titans defense, we were okay. But how many guys could run to the football? Mm-hmm. There's not too many guys that can run to the football. So you add him to the mix. This mm-hmm. physical, strong, but also he's chasing down guys. And also, you know, when guys are trying to set the edge and whatever, all of a sudden you start chasing people down, now you have a loss for yardage. So that's what makes it so big because he can run.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And you don't see him getting kicked out. He sets that, just like Ojulari, he sets that edge. You know, I don't want an edge guy that gets kicked out. And next thing you know, the running back is running off of that lineman's butt, and he's at the second level, and next thing you know, it's deuces because he's running away from everybody.
Well, and I can tell you who's not going to like that. Mike Vrabel.
He always says, set the wall.
That is exactly. not going to fly with Mike Vrabel. Coming up next, John Robinson. A lot of people down after last year, Isaiah Wilson. But what do we think about his picks so far? And has anything he's done in the past told us about what he may do next week? That's coming up next. This is the Draft Preview Show. And again, we'll be live on draft night from 3rd and Home in Germantown. Chris, TD, Mark Howard will be with us. And again, our Draft Preview Show is presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage experts.
Gotta let that hit a little bit.
Let that thing. Come on. Hey, Jared, let's hear you rap a little bit.
And local mortgage experts. Okay, guys, 1 week away from the NFL draft. And Chris remembers this. Yeah. TD, probably as a guy who was covering all throughout the league, probably didn't think much of the Titans back in these days, but there used to be a time, TD, where draft time led to excitement for Titan fans, and then oftentimes in the fall, disappointment. And then John Robinson showed up, and in his first draft, had Jack Conklin, All-Pro in the first round, Derrick Henry, All-Pro in the second round, Kevin Byard, All-Pro in the third round. There have been some hits, there have been some misses. How do we feel about John Robinson going into this draft, and what do we know about John Robinson that we can look for next week?
J-Rob, I love you, man. But that first round, like, I don't that's where the main issue is, the first round. But he always manages to make up for it with the home runs that he hits later on in the draft. Yeah. I mean, look, Amani Hooker, what was he, a fourth-round pick?
Yep. And he had four interceptions this year.
And he's the starting safety next to a guy that's a third-round pick that's a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the draft last year, you have Isaiah Wilson, Christian Fulton, Darrington Evans, Larrell Murchison from North Carolina, Cole McDonald, and Chris Jackson, DB from Marshall. Name two guys on that list that were impact players.
I mean, the biggest impact player on that whole isn't even on there. There's in that rookie class is T.R. Tart.
But then you go back to 2019, you have Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Nate Davis, David Long, mm-hmm. and Amari Hooker. Mm-hmm. Name a couple of guys as impact players on that one.
That's the tough part, right? It's easy.
I'm going to go with G, all of them.
I mean, it's easy to criticize somebody, right, when they have a bad draft to say, oh, yeah, this guy, what's he doing? But then you go back to 19, and it's like home run. You go back to 16, and there's, like I said, you know, Jack Conklin, the Rams trade, and I don't know how you factor this in, but they trade the Jared Goff pick back. You know, they end up with Jack Conklin, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, Derrick Henry, Austin Johnson, and I think, like, you know, Kalen Reed or something. That's a lot of football right there.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm concerned about is last year when they drafted Cole McDonald from Hawaii.
I was booing
and
he got
cut in camp.
You know why he got cut?
Why?
Isaiah Wilson.
What'd he do?
Wyatt Ray. Was it Wyatt Ray or was it the other free agent? I think it was Wyatt Ray.
Okay.
I think it was Wyatt Ray. Came off the edge. Beat Isaiah Wilson. Right? Cole McDonald had to change the trajectory. Mm-hmm. And threw an out. He was a little bit late on the out, and I forget who it was, picked it off. Next morning, you know, Cole McDonald was gone.
Wow.
So Isaiah Wilson even caught, like, come on, Isaiah, you got to do better than that, man.
What do we think about the Isaiah Wilson pick last year? Obviously, we know it was a bad pick, probably one of the worst draft busts in the history of the NFL. But what do we think about the Titans' process of how they got there? I mean, that's the one thing that I feel like, TD, I've never had a lot of clarity on, was what led them to Isaiah Wilson and maybe kept them away from the red flags? Because as much as they have talked about the Isaiah Wilson situation, I bet there is a mad scramble internally to figure out what went wrong there.
Yeah, I think they vetted the process. You know, I've talked to people and they said they went deep. And even I talked to Sam Pittman, who was his position coach. He's now the head coach at Arkansas. He raved about him. You know, so it's really interesting that everything just went awry. And here's the thing. You can never predict human behavior.
Well, that's a great point.
You can never predict it. And who would have known that Isaiah Wilson would mishandle all of the access that he got, all of the money that he got? So I think that's an issue. But it really, he was a rare talent.
Huge.
And that's the thing. He was a rare. Now, I was never fully on board with the pick. You know, I thought Jeff Gladney should have been the pick. And lo and behold, look, Gladney got himself into some trouble. You know, so it's just really interesting just how unpredictable this whole thing is. Because, yeah, you could try to predict a guy's ability to play football, but you can't predict his ability to manifest all of the things that are now, you know, within his fingertips. And some guys, it fries them. Other guys, you know, they get better.
And we got to understand that, you know, when I went through the combine and I had my individual workouts, I'm going to do my best on the interview. I'm going to say the right words. I'm going to shake your hand, you know, with authority, and I'm going to present myself. It's kind of like this. Just imagine I went out on a date with a girl, and she was beautiful, and she had all the makeup on. And then, you know, I went to go see her the next day, and she took her makeup off. I mean, and it's not the same.
Yeah,
she looks a little different. And that's what it is, because makeup covers up stuff.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, I think, what happened with Isaiah Wilson is maybe he put on his best face in the interview, but he was covering up a lot of stuff. And I'm not saying that disrespectful, and I hope that he gets it together. But the thing about it is we put on our best face. We say the right words. We say the right things, but your real character is going to come out when the ball is hiked.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of what we saw. It's hard for me to say this because I want the kid to get it back together. He was focused so much on the partying aspect as of using his potential to be one of the best football players that he can be. Mm-hmm. And that's what hurts my feelings, because I remember one time I was talking to Chris Hope, and Chris Hope said this. He said, why would you work all your life to get to the NFL and stop working?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that? You worked all your life. You dreamt as a little kid to where I want to get there in high school, in college, and you get there and you stop working.
Facts.
What do we think about Robinson over the last couple of years? I mean, I feel like sometimes he goes with a very predictable pick. Rashawn Evans in 18 and Harold Landry both kind of felt like predictable picks. And then in 19, you know, just off the board, everyone's thinking, is it Montez Sweat?
I swear it was Sweat.
And then all of a sudden, Jeffrey Simmons comes down. It's like, whoa. Or A.J. Brown. Titans don't have a right guard. And all of a sudden, A.J. Brown comes down. And I'm like, whoa. And it feels like Robinson either goes so predictably, Chris, or he just goes out of nowhere with some of these picks.
I mean, he does. I mean, it's like a couple of years ago when we got A.J. Brown. I was scratching my head like, we need an offensive line guy. But he saw something that we didn't see. I mean, A.J. Brown was a dog. We talk about this off the air. Mm-hmm. And I think that what he did is he didn't go for what the team needed. He went for the best available player at that time. And A.J. Brown was there. And I think sometimes people look at this, oh, we need to get this guy, get that guy. But what is best for your team at that moment? And for A.J. Brown to slip that low,
that
they're like, we got to get him.
That
we got to
crime.
Get him. That is a crime. We got to get him. So, you know, I don't know what J-Rob's going to do, because if you look at it, in 2020, he went offense. 2019, he went defense. 2018, he went defense. So what is he going to do? I don't know. Don't really know.
That's the thing, man. There's no telling. I mean – it's really interesting. I want to say Elijah Moore, but it's like, well, what happens if Jalen Phillips is there and Azeez Ojulari are there? You know, are those guys? And I know they love Ojulari. And Ojulari, guess what? Loves the Titans. I mean, when I talked to him, like, he was telling me about their scheme, like, legit telling me. Not some, oh, well, you know. He was like, yo, multiple fronts. I love the way they use Landry. And, man, they got Dupree now, too. So that's going to – and I'm like, oh, you did some homework. You know, so if he's there, that could definitely be the pick. But then at the same time, Elijah Moore brings a lot to the table. You know, so there are so many options that they could go. We didn't even talk about tackle. And I know left tackle was high on your list.
Exactly.
Right tackle, you know, is it's tough. You know, left versus right, what would be a bigger need? But Tevin Jenkins, if he's there at Oklahoma State. Now, I'm not fond of him because I think if you're going to take a right tackle, you need to take a guy that is – a definite right tackle, not a guy that may be a guard or a tackle. You know what I'm saying? So it's just I don't like, you know, two-way guys in the first round.
You know, do we think, just looking at the draft, and I know later in the rounds, I know we're not going to pick a quarterback earlier in rounds, but later in the rounds, do we look at the quarterback position also? Because, you know, if Tannehill gets hurt, who do we have? We got Woodside, and we have the cat from Notre Dame. I can't remember his name, DeShone Kizer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a stay true to your board thing, right? Like if you're picking in the fifth round and you've got a third round grade on a quarterback who's still there, I think you got to do it because the value and I mean backup quarterback isn't necessarily a glaring need, but it certainly could be improved.
Yeah, and we've seen teams, the Eagles 2017, that showed the importance, and even the following year, heck, because Wentz went down again and Foles came in and led him to the playoffs, you know, so. That's definitely a position that's more important than what the common fan may say. So third round, I mean, it would be interesting, like Kellen Mond, if he's there, you know. But I don't know if I'm taking a quarterback third round over, you know, a guy like Amari Rodgers or
right.
a guy.
Right. I'm saying like a fifth round, like if you got a third round grade in the fifth round, then it's like, hey, we got a great grade on this guy. Let's take him.
I tell you a guy who would be an excellent pick for the Titans a little bit later. That's Jamie Newman out of Wake Forest. It's a daggone shame he didn't get to play at Georgia last year because he was an ascending player. And I think he would be a top two round guy.
So I've got questions. I've got the questions from the fans for TD and Chris, and we will hit those next. By the way, I want to state for the record, not only did the Eagles learn that in 2017, 18, they also learned it in 19 when Carson Wentz got hurt in the playoffs, and they learned it last year when Carson Wentz wasn't very good. So I think the Eagles are kind of the team that's learning as they go along with the backup quarterback to show everybody else, hey, backup quarterback matters a little bit. We'll get to these questions coming up next. Our draft show, Chris and TD, is presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage experts. The draft show is presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT, your live and local mortgage experts. Be sure to join TD, Chris Sanders, Mark Howard next Thursday, live from Third and Home in Germantown. We will be there all night long breaking down the first round of the NFL draft. And, of course, it will be streaming on Periscope, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube. So what you can do is you can just put, you know, turn on the radio or get the app or stream it or whatever. You can have ESPN on, but just know we're going to be talking not only about the draft but also the Titans the whole way. I have questions for you guys if you are ready from the fans.
Let's have
it.
And
we start with Chris Sanders. Question comes in and says,
yes.
Chris, what receiver in this draft most reminds you of Derek Mason, whom you played with on the Titans?
Oh,
I think the Titans need.
Come on, man. That's a gimme. With Elijah Moore. I love that guy. He's 5'9". He's 178. Same as Derek Mason. Derek Mason was a technician in running routes. And we talk about being NFL ready. And when I first saw Derek Mason run routes, he was ready. And I think Elijah Moore brings that same input and that same tenacity in running routes. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show. He reminds me of Antonio Brown, the way he uses his eyes, the way he, you know, gets out of his cuts, and he does the right things on his route. So I would say Elijah Moore. I know there's some great wide receivers that we talked about, like Terrence Marshall, Rashard Bateman, and Kadarius Toney from Florida. All those guys are good, but I think Elijah Moore is separate from all those other guys.
Mm. Question for TD. Where will Joe Tryon go in this draft? All the mocks I see have him all over the place. I've seen him in the first round and even one all the way in the fourth, even though I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, the fourth, forget about it. But anywhere from 20 to 40, I know that's a wide range, so let me tighten it up a little bit. I would say anywhere from 20 to 32, you could see him go. And it's amazing how slept upon he is. And there are certain players, and even Ja'Marr Chase kind of suffered from it to an extent. Guys who didn't play this past year have kind of become forgotten players, right? And Joe Tryon is an excellent example of that. He was trending upward after last year. That Washington defense as a unit was really good. And then they were supposed to come in this year and dominate, but Tryon opted out for his own personal reasons. But you talk about a guy who has everything you want. You know, he has an extensive tool set. He's working with Brandon Jordan, which is one of the best pass rush coaches, you know, so that's helping him. The body that he has is there, the physical part of it. I've heard comparisons to Montez Sweat, you know, just because of the length of things and the ability to run. So, yeah, I think he goes anywhere from 20 to 32. And, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Titans took him at 22.
Ooh.
He's someone – I know there's interest. Like I said, that whole defense, you know, Keith Taylor, Levi Onwuzurike, I had to get a little French with it. Yeah, I was saying. But him, Joe Tryon, and Elijah Molden, they like all of those guys.
Yeah.
Question for you guys is, what if the Titans take a project at this position? Albert Haynesworth was seen as a project who would have gone much higher had he gone back to Tennessee. Obviously, that worked out well for the Titans. What about the kind of guys, Steve McNair, Keith Bullock, or others that aren't finished products right away? TD, we'll start with you.
Is he at this position? Is he saying 22?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, no.
No.
You need somebody to come in and help right away, you know, at 22. And I that's why I'm not really keen on the Tevin Jenkins thing, you know, which may happen. But you need a guy who's going to be an immediate contributor. Your window is now. We spent a good amount of time earlier talking about this team having one foot in that contender door. Don't do it.
I mean, you want to win now. I mean, you definitely have to do that. I mean, I know you want to come in and develop players. You want to get somebody in there that's going to play right away and make impact. Because we talk about that window. That window is closing really, really fast. And now you started getting the players. You did some things in free agency. And all you need is a couple of pieces to make sure you get to the next level. That's all they need. It's just a couple of pieces. We're not talking about, you know, rebuilding. We're not talking about building the whole offense or building the whole defense or special teams. You have everything in place. Just get a player, whatever position is, that's going to come in and be an impact player from day one when he steps in the building.
Exactly. Question for TD says, how far would you move up in this draft to try to grab Azeez Ojulari or J.C. Horn? And would you give up? What would you give up trying to ensure that you could get one of the two?
J.C. Horn, you're going to have to bump up probably past the Cardinals. So that's going to take an awful lot.
You're probably going to have to deal the first-round pick next year if you get J.C.
Exactly, and that's where I was getting to. Ojulari, I think there's a good chance he's there at 22. You know what I mean? But I would say you probably – I don't have the order in front of me, but I would project probably six – you probably have to move up maybe six picks to ensure absolutely that you get him. But it's also going to depend on where Jalen Phillips and what do teams think of Gregory Rousseau. I think that – and it'll start coming to shape, right? But if you get a run, like if Phillips goes, Rousseau goes, then and Quiddy Pay goes, then you may have to bump up to get Ojulari.
I think Phillips or Ojulari is going to be there.
I do too.
I think one of those guys are going to be there. And if one of those guys are getting – I'm running to the podium.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to skip. I'm not going to do hopscotch.
You run.
I'm running a 40-yard dash, and they're going to clock me at 4.29 to get one of those guys because those are guys that can come in and play right away.
Instant impact.
We need that. I mean, just like when Javon first came in, Javon Curse didn't sit and learn and say, okay, we're going to develop you. He just started sacking folk.
Yeah.
And then when he started sacking folk, now he broke the rookie record. Why? Because he was prime ready and he was an impact player.
Yep. You know who got close to that rookie record,
who
too?
Did?
Alden Smith. In a situation, and he wasn't a starter.
He wasn't a starter.
At that time, you had Paris Harrelson, a Tennessee product. And on the other side, you had, Ahmad Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he was a situational guy. So some people say, well, you know, you got Bud Dupree and Harold Lynch. Yeah, you have those guys, but you could bring Ojulari and you have a rotation. Remember, this team only fielded three outside linebackers per game last year. Three.
But then you forgot about Autry and Simmons.
Hey, look, you got the whole package.
Is that a scary defense?
That's a scary.
Wow.
These are all certified dogs.
Dogs.
You know, up front, and that's what you want.
If I can get some rotation guys in there, I wouldn't want to be down to the Titans in the fourth quarter with those guys coming
exactly.
at me or Derrick Henry on the other side. Oh, I mean, I think that's – you got Nate Davis, Roger Saffold, Taylor Lewan on one side with Derrick Henry, and you've got him on the others. Guys, 1 week from today?
Yeah.
1 week from today?
Da-na-na.
It'll be time for the draft. Again, 26 years ago today, Chris Sanders was selected by the Houston Oilers in a move that I'm sure Floyd Reese wishes he could have traded down a couple of picks and waited and got Chris. I'm just kidding. That's going to do it for us. Be sure to join us on site as ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be broadcasting live Thursday, April 29th from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark, and on Friday, April 30th from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Guys, after the draft last year with everything shut down, everything socially distant, let me just say, cannot wait for next week.